Brazil postpones its pension reforms and the cost of corruption in Spain.
Corruption makes us weaker as a community. Not everybody is trying to get the best for everyone else.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Brazil has shelved a vote on reforming its pensions, a system the World Bank says will consume Brazil's entire federal budget by 2030. Last week, President Michel Temer handed military control of Rio de Janeiro's state as crime has hit its highest level in a decade. Neil Shearing, chief emerging market economist at Capital Economics, explains.
The starting point for all of this is the absolute dire state of Brazil's public finances. So the budget deficit at the moment is just short of 9% of GDP. That's about as big as it got in the UK and US at the height of the global financial crisis. And about a third of the increase in government spending over the past couple of years has come from pensions. So you can't fix the mess in the public finances unless you fix the pension system.
And last week, when President Temer handed security in Rio de Janeiro state to the military, he didn't actually think that was going to cause problems with this pensions vote. But now it turns out the constitution can't be amended during this federal intervention. So what happens?
I think in practice, this is a bit of a smokescreen. The government, by its own admission, didn't have the votes in Congress to make the necessary changes to the constitution to push through the pension reform.
So where does that leave Brazil's economy?
It leaves it in limbo for the time being. So the economy itself is actually recovering at the moment. It had its worst recession in recorded history in 2015, 2016. But we're in a state of limbo, really, ahead of elections in October of this year. Do we get a pro-reform, liberal-minded government that may actually have the votes in Congress to tackle some of these deep-seated problems in the pension system and public finances? Or, as I think is perhaps more likely at the moment, do we get a shift towards a populism, either on the populist right or the populist left? And essentially, we don't get any reform, and this problem in the pension system rolls over, and the markets increasingly start to focus on strains in the public finances, and then the economy starts to weaken again.
Neil Shearing, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed today as investors return from winter holidays. In London, HSBC shares are down 4% after fourth quarter profits and revenues missed expectations. Still, the bank said increased focus in Asia is paying off, with wealth management, commercial and retail banking as key drivers of growth. Now, Venezuela's launched its own cryptocurrency today, backed by its oil. Dr. Daniele Bianchi at the Warwick Business School explains the petro.
You can think about petro as a very creative way from the Venezuelan government to get funding itself under a situation of financial sanctions, hyperinflation, and so on and so forth. You can think about it as a sort of issuing bonds or any type of security which is backed by the natural resources, in this particular case, the price of oil. But it's risky at the same time because the price of petro is directly linked to the price of oil, which is directly controlled by the government, by the way, which is, you know, fundamental against the concept of cryptocurrencies on itself, because the government is going to decide what kind of exchanges they can effectively trade petros, who can mine petros in the first place. So it's very centralized. Most of the capital inflows will come from countries like the Middle East, Russia, Asian countries, which are essentially, they don't really care about financial sanctions. So it's certainly risky for a U.S. investor or for a European investor to buy petro because you are in breach of financial sanctions.
Daniele Bianchi. Today, a Spanish parliamentary commission on corruption resumes as scandals continue to plague Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy's popular party. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco reports from Madrid.
Demonstrators in Madrid vent their anger at the growing list of corruption scandals plaguing the governing Popular Party. Senior members of the party are currently facing over 50 investigations. One of the biggest scandals dominating the headlines has focused on claims that for years the party ran an illegal cash fund financed by corporate bribes with the knowledge of Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy. Mr. Rajoy denies the allegations. Simona Levy is a member of Exnet, a group of activists who campaign to bring to justice politicians and bankers they believe caused Spain's recent economic crisis.
I think it was really unbearable that with 25% unemployment and with all the crisis and the problem that we had in Spain, these people, they were not paying for what they were doing.
But some are now paying. Exnet has helped bring to justice Justice Rodrigo Rato, a former Popular Party minister who was also chairman of Bankia, a lender which required a massive bailout in 2012. Former managing director of the IMF, Mr. Rato could face a prison sentence for several financial crimes. Corruption scandals aren't confined to Madrid or to the Popular Party. In January, former managers of a classical music venue in Barcelona were jailed for using it as a front for false invoicing. Jaume Muñoz, who has written a book about corruption, says it's costing Spain dear.
It's creating lots of poverty, actually, in Spain. Corruption makes us weaker as a community. If not everybody is trying to get the best of everyone else, it makes this country weaker.
Spain's economy is now enjoying steady growth, but as more and more politicians face the music for their past misdemeanors, the extent to which corruption has been holding the country back is becoming increasingly apparent. In Spain, I'm the BBC's Guy Hedgeco for Marketplace.
Finally, there's just one KFC open in London today. The chain's temporarily closed more than half of its 900 UK outlets after it switched suppliers and ran out of chicken, as it told customers the chicken has crossed the road, just not to our restaurants. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.